Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson in Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We have our 25-year crab cake cupcake out on the front. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour for my 55th birthday next weekend. It's the lucky day. It's Friday the 13th. Could be a game five. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs. We had some lucky winners at Coco's last week as well. We've been moving the show around, but this whole playoff madness and what time's the game and who are we playing and what's happening to Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks and how are they going to get the Ravens game into it? I don't know any of this. But I do know that baseball is sort of burning our ears during Pittsburgh week here. The Ravens are in first place, winning football games, and it's just all orange. Our friends at Curio and Foreign Daughter gave me this great Baltimore orange shirt to wear. And then last week, we lost Brooks Robinson, and I reached out to some folks in the aftermath and thought, man, we got playoffs, and we got bye week, and we got things happening, and clinchmas, and all of this. And this week is the week that I'm going with my OGs. So Charles Steinberg and I had a long visit. Doug DeSensei is going to check in this week. Rick Dempsey checked in, among some others. But this guy's at the top of the list because we might be playing Tampa this weekend, or maybe not. Who knows? He sort of left here like 30 years ago, just disappeared right around the time the Angelos family took over and had his own problems down there in Tampa. He now works with Joe Madden and Joe Madden's foundation. He's a great baseball guy. He has a great baseball name. Great baseball movie. It's almost been like Major League around here this year, winning despite the owner who announced the lease that isn't really a lease. It's the strangest thing, Rick Vaughn. How are you? How's the original Wild thing, man? You're watching this from the other side on the Tampa end here saying they're still trying to win a World Series and get a stadium built down there, right?
Good to see you, man. I'm doing great. Everything's good. Yeah, a lot of drama going on in both cities right now, you know, with all of that stuff. I don't know what's going to happen here. They made a similar announcement here last week saying they had a deal. And honestly, they don't have a deal. They don't have the votes yet. But I'm not exactly sure why they would have announced it when they did. But they technically do not have an agreement yet to build a stadium here. So we'll see how that goes. And I've been kind of following from afar what's going on in Baltimore. I'm so excited about the ball club, though, man. I think I watched about 100 games this year, and I love this team so much, you know.
Well, I mean, you're independent these days, right? Like Joe ran off to the Cubs, and then ran off, to L.A. and like, and you've got a couple hats in your closet, including Washington football hat as well.
Yeah, but this shirt I'm wearing says Oriole alumni, baby. And the other thing is, I grew up there, you know, in the business, and that's where my heart belongs to Baltimore. I'm rooting for the Orioles to win the whole thing. Not even close. It's so good to see the ballpark filled most of the time. And I love what they're doing with the garden hose and all that stuff. And, there's so many memories come flooding back, and then Brooks passes last week, and it's just so much emotion going on. I watched the memorial service, and I know there's just so much emotion going on in that city right now. I'm so sad, but I'm also I'm exhilarated for what's going on the field, you know?
Well, Rick, you were in the communications, or as we would say, PR flack back in the day, many, many moons ago. Give me your entry point, because Charlie Steinberg came on, and I've known Charlie 30 years, but I sort of knew he was around in the 70s, and he and Eddie and Cal and, you know, Brooks's exit. But, you know, Charlie told me this great story about coming in the beginning and Brooks's last 2 years in 76 and 77, and the picture with all the gold gloves setting it up out on third base that we're all familiar with, and the Rockwell painting. I was at Thanks Brooks Day in 77. And I tell the story of meeting Brooks at East Point Mall at the Brooks Robinson store. My last name's Aparicio. I'm a little adopted Latin kid with missing a finger. I'm 5 years old. Third base is my home. Brooks signs it left-handed, you know, and I have the book still signed from the Hoschel Cones at East Point Mall. That was my entry point with Brooks. And all the kids in the neighborhood loved Brooks, but, like, I love Tom Chopay and Merv Rettman. You know what I mean? Like, I never loved the star players. I thought it was easy to like. I thought it was boring to like Brooks in 1974, 75, 76. And I was there for Thanks Brooks Day. And then after that, I had the pleasure of just being a guy around town with a press credential that you gave me and Bob Brown gave me in 1986, 87, 88, 89. Brooks is up there getting a crab cake from Helen, same as me. And Brooks was omnipresent during that period when you were the PR director and Brooks was trying to get nachos moved from Texas to Maryland so we could all eat them. Because that's the first time I'd ever heard about nachos and cheese was that's when right. Brooks was eating with Bill O'Donnell and Chuck Thompson in 1978 and 79. And they finally brought the nachos to Memorial Stadium because nobody knew what the hell they were. That's literally a true story as a kid, a 10-year-old kid.
Well, I came along in with the Orioles in 84. But I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, across the Potomac River. But it was the same feeling. You know, I'm
older than
you.
You went to Senators games. You're old enough.
Yeah, I'm older than you. I started, you know, Brooks got on my radar in the early 60s when they would come over and just pound the Senators. And I think I was just enamored by his name, you know, and I'm like, I love that name. And then I started learning about him as a kid. And he became my favorite player at a really young age. And from the time I was 10 until I played through high school, I couldn't wear it in college. They wouldn't let the pitchers wear a single digit. I wore number 5 all those years from the time I was 11 until I was 19, playing every summer league game.
You were that guy. You were the older kid in my neighborhood. Then I'm like, Brooks, come on, Brooks. Like, get on the Lee May train, you know?
I got to show you something. This was... I was at a Senators game. It was probably like 63. So I was probably 7 or 8. And my dad let me stay after for autographs, right? So the players are coming out. I was waiting for Brooks and never saw him. So I look down in the parking lot and the Oriole bus is filling up with the players. And there's a big knot of kids at the back of the bus. And they're all like stretching their arms up into the, putting their autograph stuff into the window. It's the last window of the bus. And I go down there to see who it is. And some kid says, it's Brooks. And I'm like, what? So like, I was like 5'11", 5'10 at an early age. So like I get in there and I'm stretching my little red autograph book here. Still have it.
Look at this.
And I got it up into the window. And after a couple of seconds, it disappeared, comes back out.
Look at
and
this.
And I don't know if you can still see it, but that's there. It was Brooks signed the back of my autograph book. I still have it. And that was like, you know, and then just growing up and we all wanted to be him and we all loved him. And then I got to work with him. And like I was saying,
84, you get this gig and Brooks is calling the games, right? Brooks is still young and spry and having a good time. And, you know, being Brooks, so working for Crown Gasoline. I mean, Brooks had a lot of life in 1984, man. Brooks was as big a celebrity as there was in the – Brooks and Johnny were everything in 1984.
And you know what? When we closed Memorial Stadium in 91, and I was involved with – Charles and I had a lot to do with most of that stuff. I remember in a meeting I said, let's stop right now and make sure that we got Unitas and Brooks throwing out the last pitch there, because it has to be that way. And Johnny will throw a football and Brooks will throw a baseball. And that's exactly what happened. But yeah, Brooks had a lot of energy back then and he was unbelievable. I mean, think about this. And, you know, even before I got the job in the late 70s, early 80s, we're watching the games. The games are always on TV in my house, you know. Even though we were in Virginia, it was fuzzy with the, you know, the antenna. We were getting Jay-Z or BAL, wherever they were on, or MAR. And so I always had this connection to him. And then getting to meet him and to work with him was incredible. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then to find out, you know, you meet your idol and he's even a better person than you would even think. You would never imagine him being as kind and as humble a person as he was. This isn't hyperbole. He got it like few people ever get it. You know, he knew his responsibility to the game and how important that was. And he was always available. He never not had time for anybody. You know,
it's amazing all these years later, 50 years later, you've done this for a living for 40 years and how many young ball players you're trying to get them to get it. And how many never get it, never got it. Guys that made hundreds of millions of dollars, the steroids, like all of that. And Brooks was in every single person. I mean, I have Brooks stories and I was thousands down on the list for him, but he must really like my cousin because he was really, I felt like he treated me special. Maybe he didn't. He treated everybody special, really.
You know, and my boss is the same way, Joe Madden. He makes everybody feel, and Brooks was like that too. I mean, I have dozens of stories that I saw Brooks go out of his way to do stuff that he had absolutely no reason to do. And he went out of his way. I'll just tell you one. And it was the first one of the first ones that I ever had with him was we were at Memorial Stadium. It was before a game. And I had a father call me during the day from York, Pennsylvania. His son had cancer, was in the hospital there. Is there any way I could get Brooks to call? So I get the number, and then I see Brooks on the field before the game, and I give him the piece of paper and I explain to him what it was, puts it in his pocket. And then I don't see him for like 4 or 5 days for whatever reason. So I see him and I go, hey, did you have a chance to call that kid? And he goes, you know, I called his daddy and I decided I'm going up there. So he goes, I went up and visited him. He drove up to York to see this kid instead of calling him. That, you know, he didn't know that kid. He didn't know that father, but he took the time to drive up to York to meet this kid in the hospital. What? Who does that? And that Chris was Robinson. The very beginning. That was like the first time the light went on for me. And because that was probably like 85 or 86, maybe, or maybe it was even 84, whatever. But that was the first time I realized that this guy was special. And then nothing that he did, you know, didn't, he amazed me all the time. And he was like that well after I left the Orioles and when I was with the Rays, and I saw him at many, many events. And he always came over to me, and he was always, I mean, the other story I have to tell you was I was at the Hall of Fame. It was in 1997. I'd been gone from the O's for 3 or 4 years. And we're at a reception with a bunch of the Hall of Famers. All of them are there. It's the day before. And I'm there because I was a special guest of somebody, and he's across the room and he sees me and he comes over to me. I didn't go to him. He comes to me. We talked for a little while. He knew I had gotten was right after I'd gotten the Rays job as VP of communications. Well, he looks around the room and he goes, do you know any of these guys in here? And I said, not too many. He goes, come on. He took me around the room, basically grabbed me by the arm, took me around the room. We probably met 15 Hall of Famers in that time. And he introduced me to every single one of them. And he'd say, hey, this is Rick Vaughn. He's going to be running that Tampa Bay franchise down there. And I'm like, Brooks, I'm only going to be the PR guy. He was so proud. You know, he was proud of me. He was proud to introduce me because, you know, I was a part of his past there, a great past. I mean, it was, you know, it was something I obviously I'll never forget. And I was fortunate. He came down to the fantasy camp for the Orioles 2 years ago, the spring before. And Billy Stetka from the Orioles called me and he said, hey, Brooks is going to be here. Do you want to come down? And it was, you know, it's only an hour drive. So I clearly, you know, drove down there and I got to spend some time with him and got, you know, we took a picture together. It was the last time I got to see him, but even then he was very sharp. He was asking me all the questions about the ballpark and the team. And I was so glad that I did get to see him. You know, one more time, I was praying it wasn't going to be the last time, but I thought it might be, and it was. So,
you know, Rick, I saw him a couple, 2 years ago at the football stadium. I was coming in by the media entrance. This is way back when I was a media member, the 27 years I was a media member. And it was, you know, 11:30 on a game day, kind of football game day. And there weren't a lot of people around. And Ron Shapiro gets out of a car on the curb. They were dropping Brooks off right at the area where the VIP lane is. And Brooks gets out of the car with Shapiro. And there were some fans around making a little stink, coming to take, hey, Brooksy, hey, you know. And he wasn't like signing stuff, but taking pictures, just greeting people. And he looked up and saw me. And he's like, Nestor, I owe you. I owe you. And I said, Brooks, you don't owe me anything. He's like, no, you've been trying to get me. I'm going to call Ron, you know, like, and I'm like, Brooks, and it was right before Christmas, I think a couple years ago. And I'm like, Brooks, we'll get it done. No problem. We never got it done, but, that's okay. You know, I mean, it's okay. I feel terrible that I didn't get that 2 or 3 hours to sit down with him at the end and just go, like, I did Earl Weaver, the last interview that Earl Weaver ever did, I did with him. But with Brooks, my Brooks story of kindness is this. He came and did the show in the 90s at Hooters. We did Bo Hager's on opening day for a couple years in 97, 98. Every year we kicked it off and I'm coming opening day with you, you know, and he would come by and do. But I haven't had him on the show in The last tape I found was the day that Rex Barney died, strangely enough, like a long time ago. So I didn't chase Brooks. We emailed back and forth. And when I saw him at an event, whatever, we were very pleasant, but I didn't go all in and bother Shapiro to do this sit down that I really would have loved to have done with him. But my sit down with him was when I was nationally syndicated at the turn of the century, 99, 2000, I never flew out of O'Hare. I always flew out of Midway. It was cheaper, further ride to the north side, but cheaper. So I always flew. And one time I'm in O'Hare, and I don't remember why I was in O'Hare, but I got on one of those big ass planes, United plane going Chicago to BWI. It was over 20 years ago. United still had dedicated gates, all that. And I get on the plane. There's nobody on the plane. It's 9 o'clock at night in Chicago. I'm just trying to get home on a Thursday or Friday night. And Brooks is sitting in the aisle, coach in the back with his, he looks up at me and he, you know how Brooks with the glasses, hey, Nestor, where are you sitting? And I said, I'm in the, no, you're not. You're going to sit here with me. We're going to ride together. And the next thing I know, 3.5 hours, the plane was a little delayed as I remember it. We had extra time, whatever. And Brooks invited me to sit on a 3-hour flight home with him. He insisted that I sit with him. And I'm like, Brooks, I'm not going to. No, it's not a bother. Come on, sit down. I learn things when I talk to you. And I'm like, all right. You know, so next thing I know, I'm with Brooks. That's the sweetest thing Brooks ever did for me, other than telling me that he owed me. The last thing Brooks Robinson ever said to me in his life was, I owe you one. You've been trying to get me on the show. And I'm like, you don't owe me anything. And I know, Rick, I know. I had my phone, and I know I did this. I know I took a picture of me and Brooks. I'll lose my ish when I find it. I'm losing my ish thinking about finding it. Rick Vaughn is here. Before I start bawling on the air, you watched the memorial. Doug DeSensei is supposed to be on the show Monday. He agreed to come on, and then he's like, I'm flying to town. I'm going to be there. People came in and honored Brooks, and we all have our stories of third base is my home or the kind things he did. The backdrop of this baseball team, you watching Memorial in a stadium where they're going to play a really big game on Saturday, hopefully a dozen big games here the next month, and the place you were in it when it was built, you probably were there at Brooks Robinson the day it was built. What do you make of this whole Baltimore baseball resurrection to some degree and watching it from afar and the ghost of Brooks sort of, the five's going to be out on the outfield wall the whole time.
Oh, man. I'm debating about trying to get up there, you know, because I think it's going to be magical. I really do. You know, if you pardon the expression, Oriole magic. But, you know, from afar, I have thoroughly enjoyed watching this team play. You know, they play, I know everybody says it about, you know, winning teams, but they really play the game the right way. If they make a mistake on the bases, it's very unusual. And if you watch most major league teams play now, they make a mistake on the bases practically every inning. And the Orioles just play the game the right way. I love Gunnar and the way he plays the game. And he's, you know, he's a rookie going on 40. You know, he plays the game so much like a veteran player. And Rushman's, I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I think he's such a great player. And I don't care, you know, he's got good numbers and all. He's not going to hit 300, but he's such a great leader and a great player. And all of them, you know, Cedric Mullins has gotten, he hasn't had the overall year, but he's had some huge hits for him. And now that they've got Mountcastle back and their pitching has been really good.
Hey, Rick, every night's a different star. That's the magic of Oriole baseball.
It's true.
Know?
Yeah, it is. I'm a little worried about the bullpen, you know, but I think we can get there. And I just love, you know, I was grinding my teeth the last few years that they, you know, they weren't going to ever get this thing turned around. And so I owe Mr. Elias an apology because they not only turned it around, I think it's built for a long time. I really do. I'm hoping it is. It's so much fun to watch from afar. I love, you know, listening to Palmer and Scott Garceau and Ben McDonald. And
Ben,
you know,
is so good at this, isn't Ben? Ben, you were around when Ben was a 1-1 and Larry and his father and the contract and like the hope of, I mean, he had the weight of the city on his shoulders. There were no Colts, no Ravens at that time.
No.
I mean, and for Ben all these years, I love Ben. I always loved Ben. I loved Ben as a fan in 87, 88, 89. And then I got to know him in 92.
Yeah.
God, I, to think that Ben would want to be a part, you know, that Ben would sign up to come and be a part of this and fly in for the games, and that he would be the generation's voice in some way. He's so good at it. He's so good.
He's very good. And I love, you know, I love that Boog is around, and the different generations of players are here, and they've come back and they want to be a part of it. And it's, you know,
that Cal ballpark, sitting behind the plate all week.
And Cal, right. Cal's at games, you know, and it's so good to see that. And that's what makes, I think, this franchise, you know, so special, is to see that. I have to tell you one quick Ben McDonald story. Ben was pitching for us, you know, I think it was either 90 or 91. And
for young people, for people that weren't, that aren't our age, if you're just a 28-year-old kid watching the Orioles play, to know what he represented for the franchise,
it was big. I mean, he was, you know, first pick in the draft. He was the, you know, he was the man. I mean, I remember it very clearly, the very, very contentious negotiations between the Orioles and Scott Boras, and how that went down. It was very ugly.
And the stadium's getting built, right? And we're going through this transition.
Yeah.
And the reason he really represented how much we sucked in 88. Right. Like,
yes,
literally the badness of 88. He was the prize, in the same way you've already mentioned Rutschman, all these guys. They're the prize when you're that bad, and you got to hope that it works. And with him, it was just, he never felt the pressure, but he was, unlike anyone else, he was a star from the minute he was born here. Right.
Well, and then coming up in 89, and he did get to pitch for us the final weekend of 89. But here we are. We're in first place in 1989, the day of the draft. We got the first pick in the draft. And we're in first place by a miracle, but we were. And so, but I have to tell you one Ben story. I love this story. He was pitching for us. It was like 91. We were in Seattle, and it was a night game. And so it's, you know, his parents are in Louisiana. Well, but his dad calls me before we left on the road. And he goes, "Hey, Rick, are you going on the trip?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Will you do me a big favor?" He goes, "We're going to be," there was no, you know, no way for them to watch or listen to the game back then. They were in Louisiana. We're playing in Seattle. He pitches for the Orioles. He says, "Will you do me a big favor? We're going to go into my wife's place of work. She works at a foundry. Would you, if I give you this number, will you call this number every inning and give us an update on how Ben's pitching?" The phone number was 1-800-FOUNDRY. And I sat in the press box in the King Dome, and every half inning, when the inning was over, I called them to let them know how Ben Pitt was pitching. And he pitched into the ninth inning, and he got the first down. I just said, "Look, we're going to stay on this in the ninth inning. I'm going to give it to you live." So I'm on the phone with him, and he got the first out, and then he gave up two hits, and they brought
just
Olson.
Think
in
about that. If you wanted to broadcast it for him in 1989, 91, whenever it was, it would have been like 28 cents a minute. Right, like literally, I'm like,
right.
You know, how would I rig that in that era?
Well, it was
to actually,
it was a free call. It was a 1-800 free call. They're sitting in her office of the foundry waiting for me to call. I haven't seen Ben in years, but I can't wait to tell him that story when
toll
I
free Ben,
especially now because he's broadcasting, you know. So
well, listen, this whole ride,
Ben was the best.
You did this ride in Tampa. I was down there for game 7 of that Red Sox Rays game. The Ravens played in Miami. My wife's a Red Sox fan. We drove very, very fast, as I remember back in 08 when you guys had your run as the Rays. By the way, Rick Vaughn is our guest, the Wild Thing, the originator of PR and giving me a press pass back in 1986 when he was with the Orioles. Long time with the Rays and now running Joe Madden's foundation, Respect 90. This run you go on when you don't know who you're playing, when you're playing, what time the game is, at least in Tampa, it can't rain, right? To some degree, but it might be Rays Orioles. And let's be honest, you were around for the 81 Orioles when we win 100 games, when we make the playoffs, 82 win 100, the Yankees win 105, whatever. This wild card and this whole system, this is a really exciting thing baseball's done. Better than a one game that we were a part of with, you know, Zach Britton a decade ago with and all, but this 3-game tired pitching, us up here rooting for 14 inning games and pitchers to be worn out and all that. This is an exciting tournament, but man, it happens fast and you blink and you lose game one and things stack up. And I think the fans here, there's a lot of momentum on game one Saturday, including Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks playing in the football stadium. But game one in the first couple of innings, This is a whole different area for the fans here to ride this roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience. It's a different game. You know, you're right. It's really important, especially when you're playing the Rays, to try to score early and get up on top of them early, because their bullpen is the Orioles' bullpen's been tremendous. So is the Rays' bullpen, and they're going to throw their starter 5 innings. He'll go 5, and then if they got a lead, it's going to be hard. You're going to see 4 different pitchers. They all throw really good. So to me, it's really, really important to score early against the Rays. It's probably the same way against the Orioles too, but I feel strongly about the Rays. And they have guys that throw, you know, their starters. Glasnow starting on tomorrow for the Rays against the Rangers. And I mean, he's going to throw 100 miles an hour for 5 innings, and good luck trying to hit that. But if you don't hit it, the next 4 guys are pretty good too. And you're only going to see each one of those guys for 1 inning.
You expect the Rays to survive this week, right? You fully expect Saturday we play in the Rays, not the Rangers, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think they match up with the Rangers pretty well. I think the Blue Jays or the Astros might have given them a little bit of an issue, because, you know, they're those teams like those are kind of 2 teams you don't really want to have to play. You know, I don't think they're great teams, but I don't think you want to play them. The Astros have too much experience. You know, they have guys that have been there so many times before. I don't think I'd want to, you know, with Bregman and
well, look at what they did last week. They looked like they were falling apart, and they wind up winning the division, and they're sitting at home like the Orioles, when it didn't look like last week that was going to be the case at all, right?
Yeah, and the Blue Jays are to me, they're like the Padres. You know, they don't equal the sum of their parts. They have some really good players. I don't think they're a great team, but I wouldn't want to play them because they have guys that, you know, could go on a run because they're great players. So I think the Rangers are a good matchup for the Rays, and I think it's going to be Orioles, Rays starting next Saturday, and I'm going to be very excited for the Orioles. I my heart is always going to be in Baltimore. I love Baltimore. I love the fact that I grew up in that organization and met people like Boog Powell and Brooks and Cal Senior and Frank and all of the people that I Phil Itzo, the traveling secretary, Bob Brown, my boss. I mean, those are people that.
Helen Conklin, throw her in there too.
Helen Conklin. And you mentioned Helen in the food room, Helen and Hazel. I mean,
oh, man.
So much a part of my life when I was young and impressionable, and they left such a great, so much many great feelings about Baltimore.
You know, Palmer has been really great the last couple of weeks. You know, after his illness and the whole Kevin Brown nonsense with the goofy kid that owns the team and his champagne shower. I mean, I don't even – next PR is going to be issuing out on the stadium there's a lease sign when there's not a lease sign in front of the governor, which was just – that's its own thing aside from how good all this is. But Palmer said something the other day, maybe 2 days after Brooks passed, and he kind of got his sea legs under him a little bit. He said, you know, last couple of days, and he just flippantly said this, last couple of days we've been saying around here, what would Brooks Robinson do? How would Brooks handle this? And I'm thinking to myself, better than any of us. Just in general, like if any of us spent time with Brooks Robinson and make time for people, and even when we're pissed off or over the edge or a little frustrated, just never showing that. Brooks never had a bad experience with anyone.
No, he didn't. I texted Jim the night that he spoke about Brooks on the air, and he got a little verklempt there. And he didn't speak at the memorial today, and I'm sure it was because I don't think he could have gotten through it. You know, he loved Brooks, and I love Jim. I've always been a big Jim Palmer fan, and I stay in touch with him. And he's another one that's just so much a part of how he stayed here his whole career. He's been here well after pitching.
Well, they honored him Friday, Rick, and we can turn this into the Palmer thing, but I did a King of Baltimore Sports here years ago. And I can take anyone's stats and put them on the wall. I mean, Brooks had nice stats. So did Cal. Had some regular guy years, 257 years, 262. Normal guy years. When you play 20 years, normal guy years. Not every year's 330 and 40 home runs and 120 ribbies.
Right.
You put Palmer's numbers up against.
Unbelievable.
Pick Lenny Moore, Ray Lewis. Pick anybody you want. And the back of Palmer's baseball card didn't say James Alvin Palmer. And by the way, happy birthday to him, because my birthday's his birthday, 14th and 15th next weekend. We share a midnight birthday on October 14th. I love Jim because he's a Libra. And Jim's never done my show, 32 years. He works for the Angelos family, Mama Angelos, the whole deal. Jim's the greatest athlete to ever wear Baltimore on a shirt here in the time he wore Baltimore on his shirt. And that's no disrespect to Eddie, Cal, Frank, and pick anybody you want. Palmer is unappreciated in that way for his greatness because they talk about Koufax. Dude, he did Koufax times three. He had Koufax's career three times when you consider what and how Koufax is spoken of as a, you know, a deity in that organization. Palmer, the reason he's not, it's because he's been on every broadcast every night for 35 years. People take him for granted. Like, there's Ben McDonald and Palmer. I mean, both great pitchers. One's a 1-1, but, you know, whatever. Oh, Palmer's just so great that people don't realize how great he was. And even last Friday, honoring him, I'm getting into fights with Oriole fans about Brooks was better than him. I'm like, no, Brooks was nicer than him. You know, like, but like, as far as on the field, Palmer's underrated, if that's possible. Maybe it's the underwear ads and his celebrity, but he was greater than great.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's been around doing so much for so many years on the air that he does kind of get taken for granted. People need to stop and look. I think if the players look at the his baseball card today, they probably think it's all made up.
It's not real.
You know, I mean, it's like this never happened. Nobody ever threw 30 complete games in a year, or made, you know, pitched 200 innings, 250 innings every year. I mean, nobody does that.
The only thing I can compare it to is like Tony Gwynn. From in regard to the greatness of just the baseball card to say he did what?
Yeah. Jim's unbelievable. He was, you're right. A great, great athlete. And he also has a great mind. You know, he still has that mind where, you know, I used to tell, and when I was working there and I started to get to know him, I realized what kind of, he had one of those minds where he could remember stuff you're not supposed to remember. You know what I mean? And like, you could say to him, hey, do you remember when you give up that home run to Petrucelli at Fenway in 79 or 78 late in the season? And he'll go, oh, yeah, 3-1. I hung a slider to him. And I would like quiz him on stuff every once in a while, not telling him I was quizzing him. And I would go look up some of the stuff that he was saying. He was spot on. He remembered all that stuff, random stuff. But he had this mind and it made him a better pitcher. I mean, he was a great physical pitcher. But he also could remember situations, where he threw what pitch and where it was and what the count was. And that stuff all was in the bank. You know, that made him even a better pitcher. I mean, he still got that pretty good mind. You know, like if you listen to the broadcast, like he'll say, well, when Boog was an all-star, and, you know, he gets all the years for those guys, right?
But he still pays attention to what they're doing here. He'll go away for a week, even when he had COVID, and come back and, you know, he knows what Gibson threw in the fourth inning the other night in Detroit. He does.
Yeah, he's still got that mind. Yeah, I love staying in touch with him. You know, I text him during the game sometime. I texted him the other night and I said, boy, they're making a big deal out of your anniversary. And he was like, he was embarrassed by it almost. He was like, I'm trying to downplay it. But he deserves it, man. He was such a part of all of it. Really,
I showed
was.
This to Charlie Steinberg the other day because Jim Palmer, I've wanted the 66 giveaway jersey that they gave away like 10 years ago. Kevin Grace, one of my incredible listeners, gifted it to me for my 25th anniversary. It's too big.
Wow.
So I've been online trying to find this Aparicio 69 White Sox bluish gray. They only wore it 1 year. Really good looking jersey on the 70 baseball card. So I find it. And then I put Orioles Aparicio jersey in trying to find a 66 replica. And the 70, late 70s, and this was iconic because of Brooks. Like, they gave away this to every kid. The Crown Gasoline was an orange jersey, number 5, Brooks. And when I was online in August screwing around trying to – because I lost my Oriole white jersey in my move. It's misplaced. I don't know where it is. It's in a box. I haven't found it in a year and a half, and I wanted to wear it. So I found this online. This is going to freak you out. You ready? It's the Aparicio lettering on the Doug DeSensei's Glenn Gulliver – late 70s model. It doesn't have the 11 on the front. I got to get that made. But like, I've been wearing this thing the last 3 weeks, and it's just fun to have them be relevant. So much fun that they're going to play these big games.
Yes,
and I had
is.
People a month ago, I had to shake Resig down. I had him out for a crab cake. Well, if they just get to the World Series, it's good enough. Rick, will you tell people what it's like to lose the World Series? That's not good enough. That's not fun. It's not fun. They, like,
No,
if we
it's
go on
not.
this ride, if we don't get taken out this weekend by the Rays and you start to win, it really, you start to smell the parade and the
Yeah.
disappointment and thinking that there's a next year and that we're going to win 103 games next year and that the Yankees and Red Sox are going to be awful for, like, this is a special time and place. And you know from 83, you got to cash it in. You got to cash it in this month.
Yeah, you do. And we went through it in 08 with the Rays. I mean, it's easy to say, well, if we can just get to the World Series and all. But you know what? When you get there, you don't want to finish second. You want to win. The thud, you know, like when we beat the Red Sox in the ALCS that year in 08, it never dawned on me we were going to lose to the Phillies. We were going to beat the Phillies. And then when we lost, oh man, it was like, it was not a good feeling. And as great as that year was, going from, you know, worst to first, it was incredible. But man, it left a bad taste in our mouth losing that thing. And we've never, you know, they've never still not won a World Series there. So
You had been in
I
baseball
agree with you,
25
man. You
years
got
at
to
that
win it.
time,
You,
right? Like
what's
literally,
that?
and you had been in baseball 25 years at that time,
Yeah.
and you're not thinking when you lose that night to the Phillies, like we'll be back next year. You hope, but you're like, man, this was, it's like Kentucky Derby. It's like the run for the roses, right? It's
It's
like,
hard to get there, man. It's really hard to get there. And once, and then, you know, like I said, it's easy to say, oh, that would be great if we could get to the World Series. No. If you get there, you better win it, because I think it is quite a thud. Nobody really cares that you didn't, that you were in the series. You know, they everybody loves the winning team. So
all
I
right. Well, I hope
agree.
we're the winners
I
here,
hope they
you
can
know.
do it. I am, believe me, I'll be watching every freaking pitch. I can promise you that.
I promise you, if you tell me you're in Baltimore, you will not want for a Fadley's crab cake downtown. I promise you that.
Well,
So,
I'll keep you posted if I come up. I'll let you know.
I'd love that. Yeah, you know, I mean,
Yeah, text
I'm
you.
concerned here about them selling out the stadium at the price point. I've seen the fan base. The last couple of weeks, there have been people. You know, there's some fans pissed off at Angelos regarding the lease, but I think in the near short term of the next month, none of that affects any of this. But I do think that there's been a real effect with the Nationals and seeing them trying to rebuild. I had Marty Conway on last week, just like this is the time to build your franchise. You and I talked about the what the Lightning have done in your community and the Rays have sort of failed to do, even getting a stadium built and whatnot, that even in Cincinnati last week, Rick, where they've never liked the Bengals, tickets were $200 to get in because people are buying it there. And I want to see growth. I want to see a lease. I want to see a super city. I want to see all that. But this next month is what, much like Tony Gwynn getting the Padres to the World Series, this is what you build from. This
Yeah.
is a generational build thing for the next couple of years. And I really hope we can do it the right way here.
Me too, man. I so much want that to happen.
Hey man, from me to you, all right? From Baltimore down to Tampa, I might need a couch next Tuesday and Wednesday. I hear St. Pete's really nice. So,
It's you're my hey, you need a place to stay. You got one.
all right, next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm trying to get Lucas and I down. Hey, first things first, your Rays got to take care of these Dallas people,
I
all
think that'll
right?
happen. I feel pretty good about that. Yeah.
I don't want to go to Dallas next week. I want to go to St. Pete. Sunny in
Yeah.
82, they say. Rick Vaughn is down there, somewhere Treasure Island, Madeira Beach, somewhere down there. That big old pink castle they have at the foot of the beach down there. Don Cesar.
Don Cesar, yes, the
Yeah,
Don
Cesar
Cesar.
is how you pronounce it.
Don Cesar, yes.
I didn't know that.
Cesar.
I've never,
Yes.
I can't afford it, so I don't know
Oh, you think I can?
how Rick
No
Vaughn's
way.
here. He does great things with Joe Madden and still loves the great game of baseball. And every time I think of Major League and the Wild Thing, I think of the other Rick Vaughn down in Florida. I'm Nestor. We are celebrating the life, Brooks Robinson. We're celebrating the fact that we have a baseball game in mid-October, at least one or two going to be played here this weekend. We'll figure Billy Joel out, figure out the Ravens and all that. It's Pittsburgh week as well. Luke is in Owings Mills. Luke will not be in London next week because Luke and I are going to be down at St. Petersburg trying to figure things out as the Orioles try to navigate October. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, celebrating 25 years with our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. Make sure you're checking out our stories of glory at baltimorepositive.com.